Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. And joining us now on the line is a very good friend of the program. He has joined us countless times over the years. Randy Mell, the golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, also covers some college football in his free time. And he is joining us from Gainesville as he was covering that 51-21 victory for the Gators over LSU last night. Randy, good morning to you. Thanks so much for spending a couple of minutes today.
Hey, good morning, guys. If I don't make any sense or less sense than usual, it's because it was a late game and I drove about halfway back, so I didn't get a lot of sleep.
So you've already...
I didn't want to miss you guys. So.
You've already started your drive home. I thought you were going to be calling us from the hotel in Gainesville.
No, I made it about halfway back, so...
Well, you are a trooper, my friend. I appreciate it even more joining us this morning. And before we get to the golf, because I do want to get your thoughts on this 2008 PGA Tour season, but the game last night, I mean, the Gators jumped out early, 17-0 right off the bat. They end up winning it 51-21. It was the first matchup of back-to-back national champions in 18 years, and it wasn't even close. Your thoughts on the Gator team last night, how good did they look to you?
Oh, that first 14-15 minutes... They were spectacular. During the year, you've seen flashes of brilliance of what they could be with, you know, their explosiveness. But they hadn't really, it hadn't really all gelled, and they hadn't put it all together. They lost, obviously, to Mississippi and Arkansas, even though they won big. It just, they just didn't look that great, you know. But they put it all together and just threw knockout punches early on. They looked great. They looked like a legitimate national title contender. It looked like they could beat anybody in that first 15 minutes last night.
Randy, if somehow Alabama and Florida meet in the SEC championship, do you think those are the two best teams in the country?
You know, it's the Big 12 has so many highly ranked teams that you wonder, you know, is the best team coming out of that conference? And yet, their non-conference games that. They haven't really distinguished themselves outside the conference except for Missouri's victory against Illinois. So that's the hard thing about college football. It's a guessing game. With all those Big 12 teams so explosive and the offense is so good because they don't play very good defenses, you know, and the SEC defense is so good because the offenses aren't that great. It's so hard to tell right now, but I think if Texas wins out, they've got to be number one. They're playing they have a run of four straight games against ranked teams. You do that, and I think you'd kind of earn the number one ranking. But it also makes it harder to be to get the number one ranking when you're in a conference that's deep like that. And Penn State may have the easiest route to the national championship game because it appears that only Ohio State's the really only threat to them that's remaining. However, if Penn State and the SEC and Big 12 champions all have the same number of losses, Penn State may get squeezed out just because they don't play. They won't have as many quality wins because the rest of the conference isn't that big.
And they also don't have a conference championship game, Randy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. But Penn State, they look tough. If they're undefeated, then, you know, it's going to be harder for the SEC champ, Alabama, or whoever to Alabama's. I don't think they're going to end up undefeated
right.
either.
Well, you know, Penn State's the only one in that mix of the top 10 there that's 7-0. The other undefeateds are 6-0, Alabama, Texas, and Texas Tech. BYU is also in there. So we've got Texas, Alabama, Penn State, Texas Tech, BYU as the undefeateds. And then we've got a slew of one-loss teams, Oklahoma, Missouri, LSU, USC, Florida, Georgia, Ohio State. You know, in your opinion, who should be number one come tomorrow in the rankings? And then, you know, how does your top five shake out with those five undefeateds? And then who should be the highest-rated one-loss team?
Good questions. And I've got to figure that out because I've got to write the column tomorrow. And you know what? I've got to – last night ended so late, but I have to really sit down and figure it out. You know, Texas or Alabama right now, probably Alabama, you'd just have to – if you had them number two, you got to move them up even though they were idle. But Texas was impressive. I don't know if you saw that game. They were very impressive. So they may be worthy of that number one ranking too. But, you know, it's going to be tough. It could be a real mess again. If you can make a run of 3 weeks at number one in college football anymore, you're making a great run. It's just not – the game has changed. We saw the craziness last year, and it's just continuing this year.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Joined on the line by our good friend Randy Mell, the golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, also covers college football during the fall when the golf season kind of starts to slow down. And it is slowing down, Randy. We're now in the fall series. The FedEx Cup playoffs are complete. We know that the major champions this year were Trevor Immelman at the Masters, Tiger, and that phenomenal 5 days at Torrey Pines with playoff, the Monday playoff against Rocco Media, and then Padraig Harrington, you know, really taking advantage of Tiger's absence, winning the final two majors of the year, the British and the PGA Championship. In your opinion, who is the PGA Tour Player of the Year?
You know, to me, it's got to be Padraig Harrington. How do you win two majors more than anybody else? You got to be the Player of the Year. It's just the majors are that important. If I'm a PGA Tour pro, I don't know how many victories a major is worth. You know, what would you guys take if would you rather have four regular PGA Tour victories, and no majors, or would you trade five for one? How many would you trade? Regular tour event.
That's a good question. I think it probably would be at least three or four. Obviously, you know, three PGA Tour victories, the money would be greater than one major, but your point is well taken. We talk about Jack Nicklaus. The number that, 73 is not really the number that we most talk about, his number of PGA Tour wins. The real number is 18, his number of major victories, and Tiger gets that as well. We know Tiger's number right now, as it stands, is 14.
And Harrington, he looked like he figured out something there about playing under pressure in the final round of a major. There's a certain comfort level he seemed to find, which you guys watch golf, how different it is. The back nine of a major championship on Sunday is different from golf any other time of the year, and Padraig seems to have figured something out at those moments, which Sergio Garcia is still trying to figure out.
Randy, my only argument against Padraig would be, and Russ and I have talked about this, is the fact that, number one, he didn't win either of those majors with Tiger in the field. If Trevor Immelman had won, say, the British or the PGA, I think his status as a two-time major winner would have been much, as Player of the Year, would have been much more solid because he beat Tiger in the Masters. But because Padraig didn't beat Tiger, per se, the best player in those two majors, and the fact that his game really deteriorated as the year went on, he didn't even make the cut for the Tour Championship, and then, for whatever it's worth, played terrible in the Ryder Cup. Do you think that diminishes it in any way, the argument that he should be Player of the Year?
I know what you're saying, and, I wrote a column about how winning a major without Tiger, there's sort of an asterisk with it, but it's a temporary, invisible asterisk because, history won't remember it, but right now we remember it. And, the way Padraig ended, the way his game fell off, it just makes you appreciate Tiger that much more again, because guys win majors and things change, and the attention they get changed, their schedule changes, and it affects them. And I think Padraig was tired at the end, and it just makes you appreciate that when Tiger has these runs all the time, and everywhere he goes, he's like the Beatles, and it's draining, but he's every time he tees it up, he's at his best, it seems like.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Randy Mell, golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on the line. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. And Randy, last question for you before we let you go, and of course, very thankful for you joining us this morning. The night after, a late night there in Gainesville. But the 2008 season has been very interesting. We already talked about the Tiger win at U.S. Open. Padraig, picking off these last two majors. Camilo Vajegas finally, came to fruition, his game, with all the expectations throughout the years. He finally got his first win and then followed that up the very next week. BMW 1 week, and then a couple weeks later, I guess, after the Ryder Cup, won at the Tour Championship. Vijay Singh was the year number two winner in the FedEx Cup, and he is now the money leader on the season and will likely win the money title for 2008. In your opinion, what are the two or three biggest stories of this year, and then moving forward to 2009, what's going to be the biggest two or three stories previewing next year?
The biggest story. Okay, I think Tiger's knee surgery, just missing as much of the year as he has, and what's going to happen with his future? Will he be the same player? I think that's the biggest story, because Tiger is so important to golf, and we saw the TV ratings just plummet without Tiger Woods. I mean, really plummet. Interest just dropped off so dramatically. I think that's the biggest story. You know, his Open victory was spectacular. It was so much fun to cover that event, what he did at Torrey Pines. And then Paul Issinger and what he did creating the pods and the strategy and getting back the Ryder Cup were huge stories. And, you know, the development of Camilo Villegas and Anthony Kim, you know, we've been waiting so long for these young players to emerge, and maybe Hunter Mahan's performance at the Ryder Cup, you know, spur this younger generation. I don't know if they're ready to take on Tiger yet, but they're gaining confidence. So off the top of my head, those are the things that stand out.
Well, Randy, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We always appreciate your time. Safe travels as you get all the way back here to South Florida on your way back from Gainesville. And we will talk to you again very soon, my friend.
All right, Russ, Pat, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Randy.
There he is, Randy Mell, golf writer for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, joining us here on the line. Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.